You're listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the Sheffa Podcast Network. Join Rabbi Joey as he guides us through the world and major works of Kabbalah, Hasidic masters, and Jewish philosophy, shedding light on the inner life of the soul.
It's just Hashem. There's a certain feeling, there's a certain element in anxiety that when a person has something good going for them or when things are going well, so there's an anticipatory fear over when that thing is going to fall apart. Now, this feeds very much into the phenomenon of self-fulfilling prophecy, where an individual has a conception, a belief, a fantasy as to what is going to happen. And because the concern or the anxiety over the possible thing that might happen is so unbridled and so unlimited, so it becomes almost easier for an individual to deal with the difficulty, the disappointment, the breakdown on real terms instead of wondering when it's going to arrive. And a person slowly but surely brings about the very thing that they're concerned of. And when it happens, they say, oh, I knew it all along. This was always going to happen. The self-fulfilling prophetic cycle of self-destruction, wherein a person is concerned that the other foot is going to drop, thereby taking away the thing that is working for me right now, is the very force that perpetually pushes the individual into unconsciously and undeliberately breaking down those very things themselves. What we encounter here, and Chazal had a very, very keen awareness, perhaps the only singular awareness of this phenomenon of anxiety, to the extent that they teach us about Shabbos from it, as we're going to see. So Chazal understood that what happens when a person feels that something is going to end or something is going to suddenly fall apart or something is going to take place to disrupt the order of how things were going, it's enough to drive a person mad. It's enough to drive a person away from themselves, away from their loved ones, and into that bedidus, that loneliness and that isolation of the self, because we assume things are going to fall apart anyway. Chazal tell us that nevuah was taken from the Nevi'im and it was given to the Ketanim and to the Shoitim. Now the word Shoite, which comes from the same language and the same root as Shtus, which is associated with a certain spirit of folly that descends upon the individual in the unconsciousness of exile, that this folly can also be expressed in the ruminations of one's mind, the running and the returning and the cyclical nature in which difficult thoughts, worrisome thoughts, seem to circle upon each other rather than ending in a linear way. And this shotatim badas, this back and forth and this swimming of thoughts that take place within the ever-moving, ever-present status of the mind, that's where nevuah takes place. How does nevuah take place in the mind of the shotim? It becomes this element of self-fulfilling prophecy. It's also our assumption that we can tell what another person is thinking about us. And so we live with this notion that because I know something negative is going to happen, that's my prophecy, that's my self-fulfilling prophecy, I very often become the very force that brings it about. One of the most redemptive ways of freeing ourselves from this fear, this pachad of something suddenly taking place that is going to break apart that thing which is going well right now, it's the suddenness of it all, it's the unexpected nature of things, which propels that fear into something that can sometimes be paralyzing. We refer to it as anxiety, anticipatory concern. And this concept of al tira mipachad pesoim, le sira mipachad pesoim, don't worry from some difficult thing that's going to appear suddenly. Now, theoretically, the word suddenly there doesn't necessarily fit, because a person would be afraid of something negative happening, whether it happens suddenly or gradually, God forbid. But what Chazal seemed to be pointing towards is the notion that the very suddenness and the unexpected nature of things falling apart is part and parcel of the very thing that drives the anxious force behind it. Fear is a reasonable thing to feel in the face of things in this world, but it's rooted in a known. When the object is unknown, which transforms fear and allows it to melt into the unsteady space of anxiety, there's perpetually a fear that just outside of the corner, something is going to go wrong. Now, again, it does not need to be catastrophic. These things can be the simplest bumps in the road. Halavai, that's how it should be at this point until the coming of Mashiach. But even the slightest bump in the road that's unexpected, there's a certain anticipatory fear over that. It's the suddenness of it all. To the extent that there's a remez ledavar, al tira mipachad pesoim, the roshei tevos of those four words, which describe the fear of something sudden taking place, are roshei tevos, or the acronym of pesoim, of suddenly. Almost as if to say that the entire concept of the fear of something unknown taking place is in truth rooted in what the roshei tevos, the acronym, point out, which is the suddenness of it all. Now, there's an incredible teaching from the Vilna Gaon. It's a hard teaching to understand. It's a hard teaching to actually grasp in terms of how it could provide something positive. But in my humble understanding, I feel that it provides a really deep opening and a gateway into a way of thinking post-anxiety, a way of taking the anxious energy and not fighting against it and serving God in spite of it, but rather forcing it and harnessing it to allow us to propel ourselves into deeper service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person's concern, if the natural human concern is about that which is going to happen, that which is standing just beyond the vision of my eyes, beyond the corners, beyond those transitional points or those spaces of transience, of transference, of the liminal spaces of our lives, we're always constantly concerned about what we don't know, what we don't see beyond the corner, because we assume that something frightening, something overwhelmed rests behind the corner, something that can't be handled, something that will appear to be unmanageable in the mind's eye. So instead of fearing this inevitable thing that's going to happen, so our tzaddikim tell us that if you come to realize that the thing that you're so afraid of happening has likely already happened, and that there's really nothing to be afraid of because you have already survived the very thing that you feel you can't survive, in that awareness of, wait a second, I'm not necessarily waiting for anything to happen because that which I'm afraid of having happened has already happened at the inception of all things, it can give a person a comfort, and it can give a person the ability to say, I don't have to run away from the future anymore. I don't have to be concerned that there's something that rests just beyond the corner of my mind's eye that is going to tear everything asunder. Things have been torn asunder already. By the very nature of things, they're always already torn asunder. Now let's look at a classical depiction of what most people, what represents the unconditional awareness of what it means to be a human being, is the awareness of temporality and the awareness of transiency. The awareness that we are creatures of mortality. Now, mammals and other animals are certainly creatures of mortality as well, but as social scientists and psychologists and Chazal seem to imply to us, Lahavdil, is that ultimately the human being is singular in its capacity to live with what we refer to as death awareness. Now, I'm not talking about capital D death here, God forbid. That's something that should happen after 120 years at that point when a person's process is metukan and they're prepared to go on to the next place. We're talking here about lowercase d death, the death that takes place 1,000 times a day, as Rabbi Nachman spoke about it. Because the Idra Rabbah and the Vilna Gaon utilizes this notion very much, and it's built into the very system of the Rashash and all of the Mikubalim, is that Misa, like anything else in this world, is a relative position. And therefore, the notion of death is a relative thing. It doesn't mean the cessation of organic life, but rather what death means, as the Idra Rabbah refers, is that kol man denochas midargi delay ikre Misa. Any individual who has experienced some level of degradation from their previous level to a level that appears to be lower is already somebody who can be said to have tasted the taste of Misa, have tasted a taste of death. And so we take this notion that we're always anticipating this ending of things, things falling apart. What am I going to do if something ends? What am I going to do if something is incapable of moving forward? Because we apply meaning only to things that we feel will be present perpetually. And we come to realize that in truth, this thing that I'm so afraid of, I can also access at this point in my life in a healthier, more manageable way. And I can grow accustomed to it. And I can now, instead of being mitzapet to something terrible happening, I can be mitzapet to the rectification of something terrible that may have happened already. And instead of being in a post-traumatic state of anticipating more trauma, we can be in a post-traumatic state, so to speak, of the anticipation towards the rectification of the trauma. That we don't have to be so afraid of that which is going to happen, because the Jewish people have been through everything that could happen. And our history depicts this very process, and each individual experiences in their own way that we have survived countless moments in our spiritual lives, in our psychological lives, countless times on each and every day, surviving moments that we felt we cannot survive, pushing through boundaries of difficulty and what appears to be impossibility, and coming to find that we can survive the very limits that we thought would block us from moving further in even a step. And the Vilna Gaon says something incredible. The Vilna Gaon, who teaches us this relativity principle of death, teaches us, V'yamas melech Mitzrayim. If he's a king, then he's not dead. And if he's dead, he's not a king. Elema, zak the Vilna Gaon, that he changed and it's as if he died, because death is simply a transition, as Rav Kook says. And it's something that a person experiences countless times a day. A person goes into mikveh and it's experience of expiration. But it's not a negative experience. It's a mesiras nefesh. It's an opportunity to realize that I can experience transitions and I can come out on the other side. A person goes into mayim b'mayim. A person goes into the inundation of a world beyond breath, into a mikvah tahara, to purify themselves, to take themselves on and to put themselves back on, to take themselves off and to put themselves back on. In that place in the mikvah, a person has the intentionality of ata gibor le'olam Hashem. Hashem, you are the one who is strong because you are perpetually in the process of Tchias HaMesim. Zakta Leshem, how can we say we're processing Tchias HaMesim already, if Tchias HaMesim, the redemption of the dead, is something that's going to happen in the future? As the Leshem says, and Rav Kook, Zchus Yagen Aleinu, says as well, and Rabbi Nachman says as well, that death and rejuvenation of life is taking place every single second in every fiber of existence. Mechaya Mesim, in a language of a present tense. It's already happening. Things have already died and things are already coming back to life. The thing that we're so afraid of has already happened, and the thing that we've never dreamed of happening in terms of the positivity of it is in the process. The tekuma, the techia, is already in the process. The du, the tal hatchia, is already settling in to the broken bones and to the burdens that we've carried for so long. And what the Vilna Gaon says is as follows. He writes this in the end of his Likutim on Tzafer Ditzniusa. He writes as follows, that in truth, the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, can see itself as having already died, as something that has already suffered that concealment. And now all we're doing is we're waiting for Tchias HaMesim. We're already waiting. We're there. We're waiting. We're the ones who are going to be rejuvenated. Our dried bones are the things that are going to be rejuvenated. We are the part of Knesset Yisrael that refuses to die even in the heart of death, even after that which happened. We are the persistent, irreducible point of life, the Etzem HaLuz, that Luz bone that survives all destruction, that city of Luz that defies all time-bound nature of reality, that operates in its pure truthness. Ki me'eis shacharev habayis, says the Vilna Gaon, from the point that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, yatsa ruchenu ateres reishenu. Our spirit has left us. We died. The crowning jewel of our head has dissipated. V'nishru rak anachnu hu aguf. And all that remained afterwards was the body itself, devoid of its spirit. Beloy nefesh, without any vitality, without any spiritual sustenance. V'yatsiya l'chutz laretz, and the exit away from Eretz Yisrael into chutz laretz hu akever. That's the Jewish people being buried. That's the spirit being buried. V'rima m'sleveves aleinu v'ein b'yadeinu l'hatzel m'na'akum ha'oichlim basreinu. And our bodies are attacked, and the spiritual body of Knesset Yisrael is attacked by the Shivan Umos and all of the different destructive things that have happened to the Jewish people throughout exile. That's the notion of the body going through what it goes through in the Kever, that disintegration that must take place prior to the rejuvenation. But nevertheless, there were still signs of life within the body. There were still small gatherings and yeshivos and tremendous yeshivos, to the point that until that's gone as well, and the bones have been scattered, a scattering after a scattering after a scattering, to the point that it appears that rejuvenation is an impossibility. Nevertheless, the bones were still alive. That which was essential, the thing that kept the Jewish people alive, the connectivity to spirituality, it kept the guf alive, prepared for rejuvenation. Even that left. Ein Torah, as it says in Eicha. Ein Torah, even that's not left anymore. And we're empty. We're an empty body that has been dried out, and the dried bones sit there without any lachluchius, without any capacity to rejuvenate itself, seemingly. And it's been transformed into ofer, shachal ofer nafshenu. Our spirits have been pushed down to the dust. And at this point, all we have is the hope at this present moment, l'tchiyasameisim. So the rejuvenation of our own selves, isnari me'afarkumi, that I should be awoken and I should arise up from the dust, via'ari ruach mi'maram aleinu, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should draw forth a profound spirit of life upon us. The radical notion that the Vilna Gaon seems to be telling us is that it already happened. Don't be so afraid. Don't be so afraid of things going wrong. Things went wrong deliberately at the beginning of creation. Hashem created a halal. Hashem created a space that was apparently devoid of godliness. The biggest fear in the world is that we encounter a place that is devoid of godliness. It already happened. We live in a place that's apparently devoid of godliness. Then we try and reconstruct things, and we say, as long as these things stay together, as long as the things that I build stay together and they work properly, then I'm good to go. But we're always terrified that things are going to fall apart. So Zakta HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the Tzimtzum, I'm going to make a Shvira Sakelim. I'm going to break things already. They're already broken. Your only job now is to try and wait and be patient and to hope that things are going to be put back together. We're waiting. We're in the process of Mitzapim Li Yeshua Li Yeshuatzcha Kivisi Hashem. The only thing that a person can do at this point is continue to hope. And through that hope, a person accesses the light of Torah and the light of Tefillah and the light of Avodah and the light of Chesed. And a person is Zeichet to Tchiyas HaMeisim Mamish each and every moment in their lives. The name that we pay attention to in mikvah, which is the rejuvenation of the self, which is life that emerges after that which I was afraid of happening happens, after I've lost hope in myself, after I find that I'm a spiritual, you know, struggling individual. We lose hope on our previous spiritual growth and we feel that we've died. We go into mikvah, and the mikvah is the rejuvenation of the self. The mikvah is the tchiyas hameisim mamish. It's the tekuma. It's the emergence out of breathlessness into new breath. It's being born once again to a space of tahara and kedusha. Yes, I'm the same person, as we've seen from the Ishbitzer Tzadikim, that the in the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim, b'mumim yivra'u, they're going to be rejuvenated with their blemishes, so that we know who we are, because it's our blemishes, it's those moments of death that we encounter on the daily basis of Yeyush and the tendency towards Yeyush that give us the opportunity to truly know ourselves. How do I survive my own death? How do I live with the laughter of Yitzchak, who's the secret of Keitz Chai, who lives within death, the person who teaches us that death doesn't end life, that life persists beyond death, and that we come to find that the things that we thought would make us hopeless are in truth just shells that cover over the undying and ever-present nature of hope and tchia and kivui and all of the positive things that drive the Jewish spirit towards the essential hope and redemption. The name at the beginning of Ata Gibor La'olam Hashem, of the Brach of Mechayim Esim, is Rosh Tevos Aleph Gimel Lamed Aleph. It's the gematria of, it's Eled, it's 34, it's the gematria of birth. Egale means that I will be revealed, something will be revealed from here. I'm not revealed yet, I'm in a state of concealment, I'm in a state of death, I'm in a state of spiritual death and spiritual slumber, and katnus amaychen and ibur, and just in a state of shakal achfar nafshenu, but I recognize that afr demanakula, and specifically from that place of death-bringing speech, specifically from that silence that emerges with the awareness that something bad is going to happen, God forbid, we come to a place of realizing that if it already happened, let me go weiter. L'chadchila river, the only thing that a person can do is to continue living. The only thing that a person can do is to say chayim, ad oylam, that a person has to move forward and to show that the death of things that appear in our lives on a regular basis is simply an opportunity to overcome it until we're zocha to the true tchiyas hameisim. And this name of Egala, this name of let it be revealed, is the same name as Aleph Lamed Dalet, which is Eled, which means that let something be born out of this. Let me go through this process of rakvain, of this disintegration for the sake of coming out even stronger. Kaflayim letoshia. Ad shebala hamavis lenetzach, to the point that mavis itself is transformed into something that motivates life. As David Malka Mashiach says in the name of Chazal, that, as Chazal say in the name of David Malka Mashiach, that histakel al hachayim va'amar shira, histakel al yom hamisa va'amar shira. That chayim is tov and mavis is tov ma'od, not God forbid in any morose or negative way, but because misa is the very thing that gives birth to chayim, the awareness that it fell apart and I'm still okay, I'm still here, I still am together, I haven't fallen apart completely, I still have hope. The thing that I'm afraid of has already happened and there's nothing to be afraid of anymore. And right now, it's simply about the persistence of spiritual effort in spite of all of the hopelessness that a person might feel. It's the recognition that there is no level of spiritual death that can block my ability to stand up once again, to be a mechayim mesim atajew, to be a person who stands up over and over, to be like the Talmidei Hagra and the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, who realized, yes, it's already over. We already died on a certain level, and now we're just being metzapel l'tchias mesim. Now we're just waiting for the kav or ein sof to come further down into our lives, to uncover the elasticity of faith and its ever-present nature, and to be mahapech misa into chayim, and to be mahapech tov into tov ma'od. When a person realizes through the awareness of the transiency of all things to throw myself with unbridled passion and self-abandonment through mesiras nefesh, which is a tosefes kishut of chayim. It's not anything associated with death in the model of Rabbi Akiva Schus Yogan Aleinu, but it's the Or of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which is a mesiras nefesh. It's a dying for the sake of living even more. It's the ability to say at that point of expiration, to be able to say Chayim ad Oilam be'ezra Hashem. And with this, we could be zoicha to pick ourselves up when we fall into those pockets of difficulty, into those makomos. And in this way, we're transforming Gehenim into Gan Eden in every moment. The Gehenim of that fear of loss or death, we're transforming it into the Chayim of Gan Eden, and we're experiencing the process of Tchias HaMesim in our own lives in every moment. And we'll be zoicha to see the full thing be'ezra Hashem.
This podcast is supported in part from a grant from the Hadar Institute. The music is by Zusha. The audio engineer is David Kwan. For more from the Shefa Podcast Network, visit our Facebook page, and please subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts.